All right, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and here once again I'm with
Darren Howlett, and tonight we're sitting down with Darren of the Cumberland Brewing Company.
Yes, Darren Adam.
Darren
yes.
Adam.
Yes, thank absolutely.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in, and thank you for bringing us a nice little beverage to try here.
Well, I thought it was probably the right thing to do, seeing as I wanted one. You got to share. If you right, bring something to class for everyone, you're not nice. In trouble.
Yes. Let's just jump right into it. What can you tell us about the Cumberland Brewing Company?
Wow. What a year this has been.
Yeah, because you guys have just opened up, really.
We're in 15 weeks of opening, so it was December 23rd, and just squeaked into 2014, and we literally really started talking about it in November of 2013.
Wow.
So in...
That's quite an accomplishment.
It's a land speed record as far as...
Yeah.
Cracking open a brewery in that period of time. It's pretty,
no kidding.
Yeah, we're real happy with that.
Well, because I know there was the buzz around town that there was a brewery coming in, then there's another brewery coming in, and everyone's confused, like, well, is this the same brewery? Is there a different brewery? Like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden it sort of slowly came out that there'd be one up in Cumberland, maybe two, maybe three.
But yeah, I heard that at one point too.
Yes, no, the rumors were abound and they were fun.
Yeah.
And at times we didn't know exactly what was truth and what was quagmire and
right,
you know, so it was interesting and intriguing.
Wow. So how do you come into brewing?
Roundabout.
Yeah.
I am basically ADHD as far as careers go. And every 15 years I tend to change careers without really planning it. So right. I'm kind of on my fourth now.
Wow.
And I was getting to a point where the good news is I know when it's time for me to move on.
Right. Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to do something else. And the most important part is I wanted to be home in the valley all the time.
Right. So you are from the valley.
Yes. Yeah. I live just down the way. And here's the plug that'll get me out of trouble tomorrow night. My wife is Royston Soap Works. So you might have driven past our place and bought soap on the honor system right at the corner of Minto and Minto and Royston.
Okay.
Kitty corner to the Fallen Alders.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've been here for 8 years and love the valley.
Wow.
And I used to fly around with my airplane and fix small airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
And I just got to a point where, this time of year especially, I got tired of fighting the weather.
Right.
Right.
And just, you know, something that was really cool when I was 32 and 35 and 40 was less cool at 46. Right. So, and also you become more local-minded. You become more... You know, this is nothing revolutionary. I'm falling right into that 50-mile diet, 50-mile everything, and everything we can buy local, everything we can support local keeps the circle small and happy and lovely and yeehaw.
Right.
So that's the long and the short. The other part is that I'm lucky. I'm the luckiest guy around, always. And if I kind of throw something out there, it happens.
Well,
2 years ago, I went with my wife to Ryder's Pizza and we had dinner.
Right.
And I met Caroline and Mike and found out that he was a brewer, found out that he was new in the valley, and immediately started interrogating him as to why he wasn't running a brewery here.
Right.
And when we walked out that night, I turned to my wife and I said, I'm going to open a brewery with that guy.
Yeah?
And she went, oh, no. And I say, why do you say that? And she says, because normally when you say something, it happens.
Right.
Well, I proved her right.
Yeah. Right. That's...
So it took a long time for... Excuse me, for Mike and I to feel it out and to make sure we were on the same path and to make sure Caroline and I were on the same path and that we wanted to go the same place. And luckily, we've built an amazing partnership. We are on the same path. We are headed the same way. We have the same goals. And it's really, really good. My father always told me the hardest ship to make float is a partnership. Yes. And we've done a lot of bailing.
Yeah.
And it's worked. You know, we're really happy with the results so far.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. You guys have come up with some fabulous beers.
Mike has got 23 years experience brewing, and he is the cornerstone. He's the foundation. He's the experience that allows me to be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
The trade-off is I'm all the heavy lifting.
Right.
So he said, I don't want to be the guy answering the phone. I don't want to be the guy doing podcasts. I don't want to be the guy dealing with all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to go do it.
Right.
So right. I always invite him. Sense. Yeah. I invited him tonight, and he had a last minute emergency meeting he had to go to. So I don't know what that was.
No, that's fine. And so what, being that you are still in your infancy, what's the plan? Where are you taking this over the next few years?
We're really trying to stick true to our original thing. Mike and Caroline and myself wanted to create a room that we wanted to go and have a beer at.
Right.
And so we've got this very intimate tap room, and that's really the center of the universe.
Right.
We're going very Toronto with the whole thing. And we're just making that the center of our universe. Right. So we're mildly arrogant in the sense that we're not really looking to send our beer out.
Right.
If you want our beer, you got to come to that room.
Right.
In so many words. Right. You can get it at the Waverly, which has been a great support. You can get it at the Royston Pub, which has been a great support. You can get it at the White Whale, which has been a great support. The Mad Chef, Royston Roasting, a whole bunch of different places have caught on. I've
got a couple extra places to try it. That's great.
Yeah, and the really neat thing for me is that, if we think about it, that was all in that same year.
Yeah.
From that November 2013 to November 2014, all of that happened.
I know. I don't think that most of the listeners are going to be able to appreciate that is unheard of. I'm aghast. I'm blown away that happened that fast.
It to quote Joe Wiebe, craft beer revolution. It really has. It came like a tsunami to the valley.
Yeah.
Because we had two beer reps buy two pubs and just turn them on their ear.
Right.
And make them go to spots in the valley.
Right. Yeah.
So suddenly we're actually a bit, where do I go? Where do I go? There's so many options.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. And you know, I don't think, again, sort of addressing the people that are listening. I don't mention it much on this, but I used to own a nightclub. I had a nightclub for 10 years. It's where I met James, our sound guy. He was, doing a lot of, sound with me then. But, when I was in, when I had the bar, we sort of perceived about, there were six of us that were competing. Not really competing, but there were six of us that were sort of peers. And then there was a ton of pubs as outliers. And by the time that it came for me to get out of that business, I had watched four of my competitors fall. So that was just down to two. And neither of them are doing very well. And all the pubs had also taken a big hit. And I think that what happened, I can only look back and say, what had happened is whatever we were all doing, we were doing it wrong. And a bubble burst, and now it's the regrowth, it's the rebuilding. And now instead of people that are coming at it from a money angle, I find that a lot of people are coming at it from an experience angle. Like the people behind a lot of these projects aren't just throwing money at something. They're coming at it now because they've got interest or experience in whether it's local food or promoting beer, as you said, for example, Max from White Whale.
Yeah, no, the passion, it's all the quotes, right?
Yeah.
Thank God for hipsters. Yeah. They just brought us along and gave us all a smack and said, you know, really chill out, dude. Yeah. It's that the old trite saying of if you follow your passion, the money will come. And our first consideration and our most important goal is the experience of the customer.
Right.
Yeah, we're making beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got food next door from Riders, but it's that synergistic experience of the whole deal together with great service that actually elevates, you know, this well enough with Atlas too. The food's good. You take it to another time and place and it changes the perceptive reality of it.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you put that all together in a positive experience, it comes out to be something else in your own unique way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of pendulum shifts I keep thinking about. One is, we're coming back from so many 1980s, 1990s, 2000 chains that we're just tired of. And we're blessed in the Valley to have a whole bunch of people who are questionable mind to start up independent places.
Yeah.
And they've survived and thrived. You know, you look at Locals, you look at Atlas. I mean, you look at all these people who put a lot harder work than we've had to set. And the same in Cumberland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who've done that cornerstone work for years to establish it and to create its intrigue. And then we just swoop in and go, let's add some beer. That'll be cool. So no, there's a lot that's changed. And the old model, we call it the roadside pub.
Right.
The roadside pub model is dying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors on that.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for me is that, you know, the second meeting we had with Mike and Caroline was, do you guys ever picture Kino or TVs? And right. It was a resounding no and great relief to me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because when that room, and again, for the listeners who don't know, it's about 20 feet by 12 feet.
Right.
With 20 people in there. And the din is like a jet taking off sometimes. And there's barely any music. It's just people in engrossed and elevated debate, conversation. And
I love awesome. It. I've showed up a couple times there.
Yeah.
And the first time we were just going in there to try the pizza. And the next thing I was making friends with two or three other people. And like, it's this whole social event in there now. Yeah. So you're sampling a couple beers. And I know I was sitting across from this one gentleman and he's like, oh, I only really drink light beers. And I'm like, well, you got to try this dark one. It's fabulous. And the next thing he's like, actually, that's pretty good. And and that whole social thing started happening.
Yeah. So. That is my favorite moment with customers where they go, actually, that's quite good. Yeah. Because, I mean, it just says everything. Their preconceived notion of what they were going to experience has been completely leveled.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I'm not horrendously disappointed. You know, like it's just wonderful. It's so cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is Cumberland, and Cumberland is known as being the luckiest town in BC.
Yeah, true, I've never heard that.
It did.
It was, you know, I honestly hadn't actually thought of that until John just mentioned it. You must, like, that's quite the battle that you have to face, is an ingrained sort of, you don't usually see a town synonymous with a single beer.
Yeah, the big thing for me is the change that has occurred in the 8 years that I've been in the Valley.
Right.
We would have been in Cumberland, but we just didn't find what fit my wife and myself. So we ended up just slightly out in mid-Royston there. But we wanted to be here. We could already feel the vibe coming. And in that 8 years that we've been in the Valley, the difference, I mean, you used to say as a joke that the bar fights would roll out into the streets.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's strollers.
Yeah.
I mean, we are per capita the largest young family growing area. I just heard it at the census at the village meeting 2 weeks ago that we're growing to the point of craziness for the under 5 year olds. It's just, you know, the census was like stacked totally on that
side. I can see it. I know so many of my friends that are, you know, newly to having, like, starting a family or what have you. Everybody's out here. Everybody's out in Cumberland now.
Yeah. And that is such a vibrant thing. You go through, actually a member of village council who won't be named was driving through Comox late at night and mentioned that there was nobody on the streets at 8:30, 9 o'clock.
I was just going to comment on this.
And they went up on intentionally, they went up Fifth Street and through Courtney and only saw a couple of people. And then they turned on to Dunsmuir,
right
about second or third. And there was people everywhere out walking and talking, walking their dogs and popping in here and popping in there. And just, you know, the streets are alive, even in the evenings in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And there's a vibrancy here.
Right.
And there's a small town thing that's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm noticing that. Like, I'm spending a bit more time up here in Cumberland lately. Yeah. And there's always people out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always someone on the street. And I usually end up knowing them or running into someone I haven't seen for a long time here. So it's great.
It's a fantastic community and such a supportive community. So, I mean, you've obviously established your roots in the right place, you know?
Well, I have, but I'm still an outlier.
Yeah.
You know, from the traditional Cumberlander, I'm a bit of an outlier because I'm down in Royston there.
Right.
But I'm doing my best to make sure that I make up for that in small little ways. But no, it's a treat for me to take a 3 minute commute. To work. It's just a treat.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what I mean, you've said that in growth that you're not trying to necessarily send your product out there. You would like everybody to come to your product. Do you see that happening inevitably?
No, we are. There's a couple of examples that we're living by, and one of the ones that comes to mind immediately is Cranog. In Salmon Arm. They're a little bit more extreme in the fact that they've actually got 10 acres that they grow their own hops on.
Wow.
And they do limited production. So they know exactly what their capacity is going to be each year.
Right.
Well, we're growing towards that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to just say, hey, that's it. That's all the beer we have available. Because there's a kind of a a madness that comes about with breweries where you put all your profits into chasing the bigger dream.
Right.
And eventually you get into distribution and you're sending bottles and cans everywhere. And it's just not that, to me, it just doesn't make sense. There's a lot of people that want to do that and that's fine. Right. That's their thing. But beer is heavy and gas is expensive.
Right.
And why are we drinking, you know, beer from Germany all the time as a treat?
Yeah.
You bet. You know, there's great things that we get to enjoy that way, but as a weekly thing, it seems a bit excessive to me.
Yeah, that's true.
So I love the idea of being able to create our version of the great beer that you love from there and our version of those things.
Right.
Because it just makes sense. So anyway, we just don't want to do that model. And I can, again, give credit 100% to Mike, who ran a brewery that did a huge amount of distribution in Alberta, and it just wore him out.
Right.
And he said to me on meeting three, because he's an employee.
Right.
And he said, if you ever want a bottle or can, I quit.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And at first I was a bit shocked, but I didn't know anything about the business.
Right.
The more I've started to learn, the more I've realized that it is the right answer to keep it at this level, because we're not trying to take on the world.
Right.
And we're not even really trying to take on the valley. And this answers the question you had about the consumers in Cumberland. It's changed a lot, but we aren't too worried about people who don't want craft beer.
Right.
If they don't want it, carry on. Yeah. We're not here to cajole and browbeat them. If they want to come in and try it, great. Mm-hmm. But it's really about those people who are already excited and converted, and apparently there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to talk about the growlers.
Okay.
Because you know what? A lot of people don't quite understand what this is all about, and it's something sort of new. Like,
it's wacky. It's
wacky. It's crazy,
sure,
right?
Sure. So. It's kind of a return, and this is the thing I always, one of my rants, you can tell already, I've got a few of them, but we're still returning to the natural order of things pre-prohibition.
Right.
It's taken 100 years for reality to get back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make a historical reference here that's probably wrong, and I hope to get lots of, you know, response from people who call me out on it. But I believe of the true buildings that were built, like not a log cabin or that kind of thing, in Canada, I believe it was building 5 or 6 somewhere out in Halifax that was a brewery.
Oh, wow.
So we've got deep roots in that. And in Vancouver, down the Granville Street area, which whatever it was called, Little Granville or whatever, there was 3 different breweries that you could go by and fill your growler in 18 whatever. So it's taken this long to finally get back to that idea of a community-minded growler and brewery. You know, so it was after Prohibition, I think it was an opportunity for these big companies to, you know, take that market. It was a found market and they could just grab all of it.
Right.
So, and they probably would have done fine if they would have kept making decent beer.
Decent beer.
So what is a growler?
A growler says, thank you. Yeah. Get me back on track. Smack it back on track. A growler is a reusable container.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Mind blown. So instead of taking the bottle and putting it in the landfill or some form of recycling, as we know on the island, it's a little questionable as to whether or not that's actually happening.
Yeah.
It is your bottle.
Right.
So you bring it back and refill it as many times as you want.
Right. Yeah. India, one of your employees, India, we were also friends with her.
Yes.
And she had mentioned that too. And I thought, what a crazy concept. Like, it just blew me away. But at the same time, you're like, why aren't we already doing this? It makes perfect sense.
Right. I mean, we get so cavalier with expecting that we go to a grocery store and get a bag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the same deal. And I hear the same things because I'm the idiot who always forgets my grocery bags in the car. So I'm the guy that's standing at the taps now having people going, oh man, I left my growler at home. I got like 8 of them now. So it takes a while to train ourselves and remind, but it really is a natural thing. We used to go and, you know, get water with our container from the well in the village. You know, I'm going a little bit back there. But the notion is pretty straightforward. It just makes sense. Now getting the liquor distribution branch to get their heads around, that was a challenge.
No kidding. Again, I'm surprised that you were able to get that through that fast. That's crazy.
Well, it wasn't really ours. I mean, we're just following
this in. This has been something that's been building for a lot of years.
In BC, Longwood, in Nanaimo was the first ones to take it on, and they did the battle. And this is what I mean. There's so many people who've done so much battle to get to where we can just walk in and enjoy it.
Right.
That we need to tip our hat to them occasionally.
Well, I'm sure you'll do your part of setting down some foundation for somebody else to come in and ride a bit too.
Sure, we'll go with that.
All right.
The one thing you asked me earlier, too, is about the plans moving forward. The one thing I can assure you, we're deep in it right now, is renovating the patio to make that a seasonal, joyful spot to be.
Right.
So we're deep in renovations right now to do that, and we're going to have a lot more capacity for people. And we're putting in a bike wash station you can go mountain biking and wash your bike. Chain it to our fence or keep an eye on it through the fence and sit down and have a beer. Angle parking only, please. Angle parking only. It's going to be busy.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, that's like a perfect day, right? Go out for a ride, come back for a beer and a piece of pizza.
Yeah, I'm living it today. It was a little chilly when we got rained on, but no, I lived the Cumberland dream today.
Yeah.
I worked, went and rode my bike. Now I'm having a beer.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And a chat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Great. So, well, thank you for coming in. I think that we've covered everything that we need to.
Absolutely.
Can you tell everybody how we can find you?
Yes. Come to Cumberland.
Can't
After that, if you can't find the brewery, I'm not exactly sure you should be drinking.
True, yeah. there's
it's kind of a Darwinian challenge there. And we actually had somebody put us on a note to us on Facebook saying, you know, I was in Cumberland and I couldn't find your brewery. And I thought, wow, you didn't talk to anybody. You didn't get out of your car.
Yeah.
Like there's certain things I know happened.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So no, come on up to Cumberland. And while you're up here, look around, explore, because there is a lot going on.
And there's always someone on the street, so they'll know where to send.
No, absolutely. And the thing is that we've got Dodge City Cycles, we've got Dark Side Chocolates, we got three different coffee shops that are all great. We got some great restaurants.
Yeah,
it is a place to come and enjoy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. So you've been listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. You can check us out or email us your responses to our show at theediblevalley@gmail.com.